Now today, in our study of the book of Revelation, we are going to look at chapter 13. Now in this chapter, we have Satan's all-out effort to defeat the program of God and to establish his own kingdom. The events related in this chapter are on earth, and Satan energizes two men who are called beasts. Now remember, they are not animals, but they are men, and are called beasts because of their cruelty. They will be the two worst rebels in human history, and will deceive and destroy men, and stand in defiance of God till the time of their own destruction in the lake of fire. Now before we start reading about them, let us bow for prayer. Our Father, again we are conscious of the solemn issues that are revealed in thy wonderful word. As we are about to read from this chapter, we do ask again that thou shalt solemnize our hearts, cause us to take these things in and be able to understand them and adjust our lives accordingly so that we may live our lives in all godliness and honesty. Take now our thanks for thy kindness to us. Bless every listener for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. And now here we are in this chapter, and there are two beasts. There is the first beast that we read of, who comes out of the sea in the first 10 verses. Then there is the second beast out of the earth, verses 11-18. Now let me read the first 10 verses of the chapter. If you have your Bible handy, you follow me through in the reading. Here now we're reading about the first beast that comes out of the sea. And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And authority was given to him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone hath an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So there we have read these verses. I trust God will bless them to each one of us. The verses that deal with setting before us a description of the first beast out of the sea. Now notice first of all the advent of the beast, then we'll consider the appearance of the beast, and then the authority of the beast. Now remember this, very carefully now, that beasts are powers or kingdoms, but the expression is used oft-times for the personal head of the kingdom, as the ruler gives his own character to it. Thus, in this very chapter, masculine and personal pronouns are applied to the beast, denoting, of course, the actual personal ruler. Hence, the term beast may be used interchangeably for the empire or its personal and energetic head. Now, we keep that in mind then as we consider this beast. Notice, first of all then, that this beast arises out of the sea. Now, the figure of the sea sets forth the unformed mass of the people under a troubled state of the world. Plain words, people in great agitation, like the restless waves of the deep. Out of this mass of revolutionary confusion and imperial power arises the first beast. During this particular time in which we live, the 20th century, strange things have happened in the nations. We're no longer in a settled state. We may have the United Nations, but that's only a name. Men have tried their best, but we must admit the nations are far from being united. Even in the United Nations, when they meet, very seldom are they able to reach an agreement. That is, they're not all agreed. And one objects, another delegation walks out. And think of all the troubles we have had over the past 50 years, in spite of the efforts of men to get the nations together. The world is in a state of agitation. It's like the sea in the midst of a storm. The hurricane is blasting here and there, and the waves are being tossed backwards and forwards. A power rises and is overthrown. And so the nations today are just in that state of turmoil, as the scripture says, they're like the restless sea, casting up all the mire and the filth out of the depths. Now, it's out of this state, this unformed mass, in a state of trouble, out of that state of great agitation, there arises this beast. In plain words, a man. Or it may represent a united power. I think a great number of my listeners today will understand what I'm talking about when I use the expression the revived Roman Empire. Or if you want to use a modern expression, the European Common Market. There we find all the different nations in Europe trying to find points of agreement, things upon which they can unite. And they're getting pretty close to it. Some of them have had to compromise and change certain ideas. For example, Britain had to change her monetary system. And if Britain can change her monetary system, I suppose it will be placed on the lap, as it were, of others to do likewise. And before long, who knows, they may bring out some monetary system that each of them will be able to accept, a common monetary system. But not only do we have the European Common Market to deal with the economics, but you also have NATO, which is a kind of military agreement. And so you find these nations uniting. But now let me say this, that whenever you get nations uniting, you usually need somebody in the top place. Or you may call them the president, or you may call them the moderator, whatever name you give to him, it means that he takes the upper place. Now, when you speak of this beast, then you may be referring to the power in general, or you may be referring to that individual who shall rise to the leading post and be the acknowledged head or leader of the organization. But now there is the appearance of the beast. Notice what it says about him here, because our attention is drawn to him. It says, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, if he has ten horns, remember in the Bible, horns are always indicative of power and authority. And here is one who has ten horns, which seems to suggest the union of ten different powers, and he sits as the supreme one above them all, having power and authority. Whether he assumes this by his own power, or whether he is elected to that office, the Bible doesn't tell us. It simply says, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, on his horns, ten crowns. So you see, he has power and authority. But it also says he has seven heads. Where you have the head, you have the thought of government. And these seven heads give the thought of fullness. So here is the fullness of intelligent government. Men have been trying now for a long time to develop the best form of government. And even in countries where they try to boast in terms of their democracy, and some claim this is the finest democracy they could have and so on. Nevertheless, you discover there are different parties with different ideas, and it's only the vote of the people that will put them in the place or take them out of the place where they can govern. So even where you have a democracy, everybody is not agreed as to how that should be put into operation. But when we come here to Revelation 13, here we have a man who has both power and authority, and with his seven heads, he has the fullness of intelligent government. But now it goes a little further. For in verse 2, we are told that in looking at the beast looked like a leopard. And then something else. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. So therefore, if he is like a leopard, he has that suddenness or swiftness of action. So here is a man who is in the position to be sudden or swift with any action he may take. He doesn't require to bring it before some particular body of men to ask their permission. This power can act without asking anyone's permission. And whether this is referring to the nation or the League of Nations or whether it's referring to the man who is in the supreme place, nevertheless, there can be swiftness of action like the leopard. And then there's feet like a bear. That is, it has the strength to crush. And that's exactly what he will do. You'll see that as we go down the chapter. But he is the mouth of a lion, like the roar of a lion. But remember, the lion is the king of the forest. Here is the thought of sovereignty with cruelty. And so notice now the appearance of the beast. Having power and authority, having the fullness of intelligent government, suddenness or swiftness in the action, strength to crush, sovereignty and cruelty invested in him. Now, look a little at the authority of the beast. And the first thing we must note is the source of his authority. Because it says again at the end of verse 2, and the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. The dragon. We learn something about him in chapter 12. Notice very carefully now the link between chapter 12 and chapter 13. In chapter 12, the great dragon is cast down to earth. When he comes down to earth, He's going to make use of people on this earth, and he makes use of this beast. He gives them his authority. So the source of this man's authority, the source of authority for this great League of Nations, is the devil himself, the dragon. Notice the influence of his authority, and they worship him. Can you imagine people who will worship a man who is a dictator, or those who will worship the devil that gives him his authority? That's exactly what they're going to do. Notice the expression of his authority, speaking great things and blasphemies. Notice the duration of his authority, for 42 months, that's 3.5 years. Notice the cruelty of his authority, making war with the saints. Notice the extent of his authority, he's ruling over all people. Now that's what's coming upon this earth. You speak about dictatorship, the greatest dictator the world has ever known will arise in the midst of the very people who profess to be fighting against dictatorship. That is, he'll arise in Europe. Notice now the second beast. The second beast comes out of the earth. Let us look at verse 11. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth, those who dwell in it, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and he performs great signs, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he had power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their foreheads or on the right hand, and that no one may buy or sell except the one who is the mark of or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who is understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. Here then we have some verses that deal with the second beast, and he comes out of the earth. The first man came out of the troubled seas, the nations in agitation, but he is a man that rises out of that which is more stable. He arises out of the earth. Notice now the advent of the second beast then. He arises from the midst of that which is settled and formed, but that mass of people are now ready to accept the authority of this second beast, because they've been compelled to receive the authority of the first beast. And here is the man who's going to stand behind the first beast. Now notice the appearance of this beast. He has just two horns. He looks like a lamb. That's in imitation, of course. But this is very deceptive, because when he opens his mouth, he speaks like a dragon. You see, in appearance, he looks like a lamb. In plain words, he is the imitation of Christ, for Christ, you remember, was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In the book of the Revelation, he's a lamb upon the throne. But here is one who comes forth in imitation of the Lamb. He has two horns. The horns, again, speaking of power. So in two areas he has power. But again, I remind you, when he opens his mouth, he doesn't speak like a lamb. He speaks like a dragon. That is, it's the voice of the devil. You know, when the devil first appeared in the garden, he came in the form of a serpent, and he beguiled Mother Eve. Now here in the book of the Revelation, he comes like a lamb, and he's going to deceive the nations. Notice the authority of this beast. He exercises all the authority of the first beast. And he added to this, because he commands universal religious idolatry. The second beast will cause that an image shall be made of the first beast, if you like, an idol. Here is what the Bible has referred to as the abomination of desolation. It was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, referred to again by the Lord Jesus Christ on that great occasion when he gave that sermon as recorded in Matthew 24. And he spoke of the abomination of desolation that would be set up in the holy place. And so here we find now that the second beast is going to deceive the people, because he's going to have this image made of the first beast, and he's going to cause that the people fall down to worship this image. You know, that's what happened away back in the days when Daniel and his three companions were taken captive and were down in Babylon. The king of Babylon made a great image, and he said they were all to bow down to his image when the band played. But there were three young men there who stood up to be counted, and they would not bow down to that idolatrous image. In a coming day, there's going to be another image. And if the times of the Gentiles commenced with the setting up of an image and calling for people to worship that idol, the days of the Gentiles will draw to a close again by setting up an image, an idol, and people will be compelled, as it were, to bow down and worship the image of the beast. So then he exercises all the authority of the first beast, but adds something to it, this religious idolatry. Notice the activity of this beast. There is deception with his signs. You know, that's a remarkable thing. Verse 14 says, "And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he had power to do in the sight of the beast." Now, this is a strange thing. People can be deceived by what they see. You know, "a wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign," said the Lord Jesus, "when no sign shall be given them except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the fish, so the Son of Man was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And then he rose in triumph in his resurrection. That was the only sign that was necessary, the sign of the resurrection. But now, after the church has been taken, the time of the tribulation comes upon this old wicked world. Notice how people will be deceived again with signs. Then there will be corruption in those things religious. "For he has power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." There will be deception with his signs. There will be corruption in things religious. Of course, we're seeing a lot of corruption today in religious circles, and the corruption we're seeing today will just brainwash the people and prepare them for the acceptance of the mighty corruption that will come upon this world, and people will be deceived and accept those religious corruptions. Then there will be the destruction of all who disobey. It's a matter of bow down or else. Then there will be the domination of all people. I wonder if business people and others have ever thought of this, that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Notice that this beast, this second beast, will have control not only over the political thing, but they'll have control over the religious thing. They'll have control over the economic world. They'll tell you who can buy and who can sell. And they'll also be able to stop people from buying or selling unless they bow down to the image of the beast. Now he says he'll have a number, and he'll have a name, and you'll have to bow down to that. Now, let me say this, there's no need to assume an actual mark, although it may be so, because the mark belongs to the vision, which everything must be visible and possess form. In the hand or on the forehead may suggest that both manual and intellectual workers must be subject to the rule of the beast. These are terrible times that lie before this old world under the dictatorship of those two beasts. The beast that shall arise out of the sea, and the beast that shall arise out of the earth. I hope, my friend, as you listen to me today, that you will not be counted in with the people who will be here at that time, but may you trust the Lord and be ready for the rapture of the church and be with the Lord, which is far better.